This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Show. We talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors and the things that affect our lifestyle. And we hope you're joining us this morning. And as soon as we unlock the board, maybe we'll be able to get some phone calls. There we go. Chris Klaproth joining us this morning as our... Well, actually, he was here when I got here. He's been here. How long have you been here? How many hours have you been here in a row?
I've been here since...
Can't even remember.
Yeah, and it's going to be long. It's like a week and a half I'm working straight.
So. Oh, wow.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've been here since 11 o'clock last night.
Yeah, well, I hope you got a nap. Chris does the overnight stuff, and he's here with us this morning. Thank goodness for that. We killed 77,000 deer. 77,382 deer. During the combined archery, firearms, and muzzleloader seasons from September 7, 2018 to January 31st, 2019. 29,699 bucks antler deer and 44,249 antlerless deer. And that includes button bucks. 1,609 antlered sika deer and 1,825 antlerless sika deer. The harvest was 11% lower than the 2017-28 total of 86,542 deer. And it was the weather. Joining us this morning is E.W. Grimes, who's the head man in charge of the Quality Deer Management Association here in Maryland. And... still president of the Bachman Valley Branch?
Yeah, well, Sherry's actually president of the Bachman Valley Branch now.
Okay.
So, you know, kind of handing over saying, good morning, everybody.
Morning, E.W. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well.
So what do you
doing
think
well.
Of these? What do you think initially of these numbers?
Well, I'm a statistician kind of guy. You got to give me some numbers and put it in front of me. And I really haven't had time to really review these because this came out yesterday or a day ago.
Right.
So, but, you know, I look at years and the trends of how things are going. And that's the same way DNR does, too. Is you know, you just don't take 1 year's statistics and make regulations and adjustments, too. You take trends.
Right.
And over the trends. Now, these numbers are adding to the already falling trend.
Well, we've said before, 15 years ago,
yep.
We had over 300,000 deer in our population here in Maryland.
Right.
Now we have what's the current estimate in the deer report? 235, 223, 218.
I actually do have that.
Somewhere just over 200,000.
222,000.
So basically, we've knocked down in 15 years, we've knocked down a third of our population.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And the kudos go back to the deer project leaders and stuff for the deer plan of the last 10 years.
Right.
I mean, because they set the goals and they object us to stabilize
right.
the deer population, and they
right.
and they have actually done it's coming that way. I mean,
yes, they have.
Yes.
Yeah. However, the question is, have we gone too far? Or not far enough to stabilize the population? I guess that depends on who you ask, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely who you ask. You know, we brought it up at the stakeholders meeting a year ago
yep.
that it was time to really start, instead of reducing our herd, we needed to start just to manage our stabilized herd to keep from going over the other edge and have to come back.
And the answer was?
And we got, that's when the antler, the second deer with the antler restrictions come and play. And then the doe numbers, the harvest numbers were, regulation numbers were reduced.
From unlimited
to 10.
10, and it remained 10 statewide.
Yes. And statistically.
The statewide buck limit went to 3 total rather than 4.
Yep.
And so that helped. But you guys do, QDMA and your group in particular, does other types of studies as well. You see trends from the other end. You see trends of the deer that are taken in the managed hunts. You folks are there to do.
We have over 14 years now in collecting data at the managed hunts.
Right.
And kudos to Sherry Winters, who is actually leads that in our group. And she's she does the samples, pulls the samples of fetus counts and stuff like that. So we actually have, and we supplied DNR, the deer program, Brian Eiler, with those statistics. And he actually uses those statistics. So we do have our own numbers as well.
Right.
But, you know, they get those numbers also.
So what, in your world, what's the trend?
It's obviously falling. When we took them managed hunts, when they first took a big shot, there were some pretty large numbers in the managed hunts. The managed hunts have actually decreased in numbers as well, along with the trend of the recreational hunting trend. Pretty much the same way. They have fallen off. So, as well as participation in those managed hunts has also fallen off.
Well, sure.
You know, so,
well, you know, that's understandable.
Yes.
Because after so many years of managed hunts and targeting the does on those managed hunts, targeting the antlerless deer on those hunts, you have brought some of those areas into where they need to be. Some very small hot spots probably need more deer
taken. And there is still hot spots. And majority of those hot spots are actually places where they don't have any hunts.
Exactly.
You know, so the places that the managed hunts have actually participated in, Sweet Air in Baltimore County is one that there was a comment that was made on the website for the new 15-year-old deer plan.
Yeah.
Where one guy actually said that since they did the managed hunts in here, the deer population has been declining.
Right.
And that was a neighbor. So, you know, so those numbers have.
Well, Sweet Air's, I mean, that's right there near Loch Raven as well. So
yes, that's true.
They've been bow hunting Loch Raven for, what, 6-7 years now. So, you know, all these things go together to bring them.
The big overall patches, when you take all the pieces and put them together, then you said, Matt, you actually have measurable results that have been, you know, collected.
Right. So, well, you know, in that world, there's also been areas like Soldier's Delight, where they've sharpshot. They've done sharpshooting projects there.
Yes.
The hunters don't like it.
No. No.
They don't like it.
No.
You know?
No.
The managed hunts typically take place after mid-January, somewhere there into February,
correct.
And that type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so... But when you go into an area and you kill a couple of hundred deer or whatever they shot out there at Soldier's Delight, and then you invite hunters to come in and pay $35 for the opportunity to be part of a managed hunt, and they don't see any deer, then they say, well, why don't I see any deer? And somebody says, well, you know, the sharpshooters were out here and killed 135 deer a couple of weeks ago. And you go, why'd I pay my $35?
Yes, yes. And I can see... I could see the concerns of some to do that. I would say this, that even the sharpshooters, when they come in, I don't like using sharpshooters so well. I think we ought to use recreational hunting. But if you don't get results with your recreational hunting, then you need to do another option.
I agree. Understand.
You know, but
Soldier's Delight, let's just take that, okay? That's a very delicate environmental area, and I understand all that, okay?
Yeah.
And you were allowed to bow hunt for years.
Yes.
Okay? Bow hunting doesn't do it. Okay, they just, North Point Park.
Yes, Sherry was just down there.
Typical example.
Yes.
You do a bow hunt, then you do a shotgun hunt.
Yep.
Okay, and you limit it. Okay, you can't do it in a day or 2 days on a Friday and Saturday with, you know, you have to do it over...
A period of time.
A period of time.
Yes.
You know.
the bird watchers and other people walking the park, they're entitled to their time as well.
Sure.
But
the Howard County program's been going on
absolutely.
Forever. That's one of the finest,
and Montgomery County,
finest examples of managed hunting in the world. And Montgomery County also uses sharpshooters.
Yes.
They've killed, last number I heard was over 6,000 deer were taken out of several parks down there on sharpshooting efforts.
6,000?
Well, yeah, I mean management, not management hunts, but I mean sharpshooting.
You mean total?
Total,
okay.
Yeah, over years.
Over years. Well, ten years ago, in some of those managed hunts there, it was taking almost like 300 deer in a week.
That's right.
Okay. Now, at that point, now they're actually down to around 100 deer.
Right.
And so that program, those programs that have
they
been
work.
Installed, are working, and they get results.
And they recruit recreational hunters to work as game managers.
That's correct. And they also, besides their sharpshooting programs, they actually utilize the recreational with managed hunts as well.
That's correct.
Hand in hand.
The only place sharpshooting takes place is on areas that recreational hunting and access is extremely restricted.
And more so access than anything else. It really plays a major role in it.
Well, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
So,
yep.
I get it. Well, anyway, these deer numbers are troubling. The drive by the department to have increased Sunday hunting, I certainly support Sunday hunting, but it's in everything you see.
Yes.
They're laser focused on it.
Absolutely.
Increase Sunday hunting. And, every press release mentions Sunday hunting. Sunday hunting accounts for more than 10% of the total harvest. Okay. It pretty much always has, hasn't it?
Only because we have Sunday hunting.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
before that.
No, of course not.
Do you understand that the Sunday hunting is a major issue because it is part of recruitment?
Of course it is.
And that is a major thing because of the way that, getting our kids involved and that part of it, that, this Sunday hunting is a major deal.
Sure it is.
It really
no
is.
No question about it.
I have a real job that I actually have to work on Saturday sometimes.
No, you.
Believe it. And sometimes I can't get in the woods on Saturday. And I welcome the opportunity to that Sunday hunting is available. And I'm from Carroll County, and we got the most Sunday huntings, I think, of everybody in the state.
I mean, I took a nice sick deer on Sunday this past year, first Sunday of the firearm season, Dorchester County. Took full advantage of it, hunted morning and afternoon.
Sunday hunting is a great management tool, and it works for recruitment as well because you can get the kids from soccer and whatnot and get them out there and enjoy the outdoors.
Here's a question for you.
I got an answer for you. Bring it on.
I figured you would. Deer management permits.
Oh, my gosh.
1,700 ballpark, 1,617, however many it is in that area. We'll just use that as a relatively round number, 1,700 deer management permits, crop damage permit holders.
Yes.
8,000 agents. That are shooting on crop damage 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And now, if you have an agricultural deer cooperator permit among several dozen that were issued, you may shoot at night. So now, from February 1st to March 31st.
That's the first time this year, though, for that.
Well, there were certain restrictions. But in some areas of the state, it never mattered anyway.
That's correct.
Because in certain areas of the state, hey, we're going fox hunting.
Yeah.
That type of thing. And I understand that. But do you believe that the 8,000 deer that are reported on deer management permits, which figures out to about one per person who's shooting on crop damage as an agent statewide, do you think those numbers are accurate when they allow for over 30,000 deer to be shot on crop damage permits? Do you think those reported numbers are accurately reflect the number of deer that are actually killed?
Opinion-wise, I would say no. My opinion is. However, that being said, being a statistician that I am, I like to use the numbers that are available. If we're getting bad numbers, then we still only have numbers to obey that are, I think there ought to be some more control on crop damage to kind of make it more reliable.
There are restrictions.
There is, but they don't attend to enforce them as well as what I believe it should be.
Well, our NRP is overwhelmed.
Yes, yes. And then understaffed.
And focused on water-based conservation.
That's correct.
Efforts, you know.
Yep.
Rockfish, oysters,
yep.
and crabs, no question. And along that. And so we'll touch base on that from time to time.
Yep.
Anybody would like to call, you know, EW's here in studio. We're here, you know, live and in person, 410-922-6680, if you'd like to weigh in on that. And at this point, it's time for me to tell you about Chesapeake Outdoors. They're getting ready for fishing season. You know, hunting season is pretty much in the bag, except for some small game and some, you know, some limited waterfowl opportunities on snow geese. But you talk about fishing, custom bucktails, parachutes, and umbrellas. Largest selection of fishing and crabbing supplies on Kent Island. Rods and reels and tackle for Chesapeake Bay, the tidal rivers, and freshwater fishing. Full selection of live and frozen bait, custom planer boards, and the information on how to use that stuff. If you'd like to, you know, talk about Yeti coolers and Costa sunglasses and Bubba Blade knives, and check out their new line of T-shirts, too, while you're there. Chesapeake Outdoors has a number of hunting items on sale, including 20% off tree stands. They also have spring gobbler stuff, decoys and shotguns and ammo and calls and camouflage. Check it all out at Chesapeake Outdoors. They're located Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. That's right there in Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500. Why not go see them today? That's exit 39B, Dominion Road, Kent Island, Chesapeake Outdoors. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carrying nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex. Bay Country Crabbing Supply. They're located in Edgewater. They have everything you need for recreational and commercial crabbing and bay fishing tackle, too. Now, they're located at 214 Mayo Road in Edgewater. You'll find stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers. You get it. And a full line of bay fishing tackle. See Bay Country Crabbing Supply today and tomorrow at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show at the Early Heights Fire Department. I went by there this morning on the way, you know, up Route 2, and man, they got the big tent set up and they're ready to go. No question about it. And mark your calendars, too. April 13th is the open house at Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater. For more information, 410-956-0300. Waterman, take your license when you go for your discount at Bay Country Crabbing Supply. Website by the same name, baycountrycrabbingsupply.com.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Yes, some folks say I'm a simple kind of man. I love the outdoors, eat my beans from a can. I like hunting, fishing, don't care what the tree huggers say. I learned more about life sitting out in the woods or on the banks of a river when the fishing's no good. And if I go home skunk, well, hell, I still had a good day. 'Cause if I can't go hunting, I'll go fishing. If I can't go fishing, I'll be wishing that I find something fun to do before I call it a day. Yeah, give me my gun, a fishing pole. You might find me down at the fishing hole. I put the line in the water, watch the bobber go floating away.
Kind of a fun song.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, you're a farmer. You need a tractor?
No, actually, I don't need a tractor, but I could always update. But if you know, I spent so much money on my crop damage stuff that I can't afford loss of crops and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I can't afford a tractor right now.
I see. Yeah. So the Hart rifle and the night vision goggles and the suppressor and all that.
Yeah, it's that comes first.
You know what? Yeah. So what do you got in that rig? About $5,000
or more?
Yeah, you
know. I'm helping the economy that way.
Yeah, I guess you are. Well, you know Don Travis, taxidermist.
Yeah,
he's got a nice old John Deere tractor for sale.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's a 3720, 44 horsepower. Listen to this package though. He's got a 300X, whatever that means, front end loader with it.
Yeah,
and I saw it sitting there the other day. Yeah. Five foot bush hog, cab with heat, air conditioning, radio, extra cab exterior work lights. If you want to, you know, take it out there in the field at night for some reason, God knows, maybe you're going fox hunting.
Yeah.
A quick three-point hitch adapter and been serviced all along by Atlantic Tractor. It has 438 hours on it, which isn't much. Excellent condition, only used to mow pastures, and it's been kept under roof.
John Deere's hold their value pretty well. It's a well taken care of.
Very well taken care of. Nice. And,
yeah,
you know, Don maintains his stuff.
Yeah. 28.5. That's not bad.
No. So if anybody would like to talk to Don about his tractor, give us a call here, 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680, and say, I want to talk about the tractor. Give me the contact information. Chris will take your number down, and we'll be more than glad to do that. So for Don, he's a heck of a nice guy. So you came here. I know you have an agenda. I know you came here to talk about something. What do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the next 15-year deer plan. Maryland is very well adapted on their having the deer plan. I think there's a misunderstanding a little bit about what this deer plan is. Like the last 10-year deer plan, they actually set goals and establish stuff, and it's done by the input of individuals, calling in and whatnot like that. Now, Frostburg on the 6th of February, they had their public hearing.
Right.
And there was 35 people that attended to it.
You mean on public meeting?
Public meeting is where you come in, and it's not where you get in there and hoop and holler and holler at each other and all like that.
Why?
That's for stakeholders meetings. We do that at the stakeholders meeting. This is a gathering of information for the deer project leaders, and they set up stations, and then you give them information that you feel that they need to have to make a rational decision about the deer management for the next 15 years in their goals.
And when you say stakeholders,
yes,
how many people are on that list? 70, something like that?
Yes, yes.
It's everybody. It's farmers. It's the deer sterilization people.
Yes.
It's Farm Bureau. It's the horse council, you know, the horse riders, people that never buy a license, never will, but they have input for some.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because they're public. It's open to the public. So anybody that's public that has any issue with the deer eating their flowers, or have run in with their car with a deer or whatever like that, and they feel that they need to express an opinion, this is what they gather that information.
But isn't that what the public comment is for?
Yes.
Okay, why are those people included as stakeholders?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Thank you.
That's a good
question.
Nobody's
ever been able to answer a question why the horse council, trailback riders, who operate on public and private land anytime they want, with and without permission.
Yes.
And the fox chasers who don't have to buy a license to chase foxes.
Well, they have a group license now, thank for that. That part of it now.
Okay. So
it's
they have a
more than what they didn't have.
Now wait.
Yeah.
They have a group license.
Yes.
Okay. So if 50 dogs and 50 horses and 50 riders decide they want to go chase a fox,
Yes.
They can buy a Fur Bear Fur Takers group license.
Group license, yes.
Now, do you have one?
I have a Fur Bear's license, yeah.
Yeah, so do I. Yeah. And how much is yours?
I trap
them. How much is yours?
I didn't care.
It's $5.
Yeah, it's $5. Yeah.
Okay, and anybody that wants to shoot a coyote or a fox gets one of those Fur Takers license,
yes.
You know, when they buy their hunting, it's $5.
Yeah.
But for 50 riders and 50 horses and 50
yes.
participants,
yes.
Their group Fur Takers license is $10.
Yes. Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on, though.
Okay.
Do you think that any time anybody has ever chased a fox, that sometimes they take the fox to ground, sometimes the dogs kill the fox?
I'm sure it happens, yes.
Sure it is. So if you like to trap fox, or
yes.
I like to shoot fox, or coyotes,
yes.
Okay, I not only have to have a fur taker's license, an individual license for $5,
yes.
Okay, I have to have a hunter safety permit, I have to have a hunter safety course and a hunting license.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Yeah.
I haven't killed a fox in 25 years.
Yeah.
Okay? Why is it that pursuing a fur bearer with dogs and horseback isn't the same as pursuing one with a .22-250 or a .223 at night? Why isn't
by definition?
It is. If you have to have a fur taker's license,
yes.
Why don't you have to have a hunting license? If you have to have a fur taker's permit to chase foxes, why don't you have to have a hunting license?
I agree with you. I agree. It's unfair stat, is what it is.
Right.
You know.
Now, do you know how many fox chasers there are in Maryland?
I have no idea.
3,300.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. About 30 some fox chasers. Mm-hmm. Fox chases a year across the state of Maryland. There are, I think, 8 different clubs.
Yeah.
Okay. That would be a nice little chunk of income for the coffers. Would increase the numbers. Would help with the Pittman-Robertson Act, you know, Pittman-Robertson funds and so forth. Would
right.
it not?
All right. Absolutely. I agree.
Okay.
I
now,
agree.
In St. Mary's County, okay, a law was passed 2 years ago that says you are allowed to kill a fox in the course of a fox chase.
Then they also should be allowed to have the proper license to
not allowed to have. They should be compelled to have,
compelled
just like
have.
The rest
yep.
of us. They should have to pay for yep. the privilege.
We know that hunters fill the bill for a lot of extra people out there and groups that we foot the bill for annually.
We talked about the deer management.
Absolutely.
The DMPs, the
yes.
deer management program, the crop damage permit.
That is why it's so important. I'm going to go back to my agenda here. That is why it's so important for this 15-year deer plan for the hunters to actually come out or go online and voice their opinion on this stuff. The hunters in the last couple 10 years have actually sat back on their hands and really not gotten involved or participated, I should say, in the process and being involved with it.
You're preaching to the choir here.
Here I am, but I'm talking into this mic. I'm hoping somebody out there will hear me and jump up and come see these things and get involved with this thing. We're going to lose this if we don't participate.
I want the hunters out there to hear this, okay? You pay $24.50 for a license and $6 for an archery stamp and $6 for a bow stamp. And if you only hunt deer.
That's
only
great.
Loved it. Forget waterfowl. It's $25 yep. for a federal stamp, $9 for a Maryland hit permit. Okay. And Maryland stamp.
Yep.
Okay. So now you're paying six is 12 and 24 fee. You're paying $36 for the privilege to hunt. Right?
Right. That don't even go into your clothes or ammo or equipment or
all that other stuff.
I'm not even talking about
the economics.
Okay.
I'm talking about one thing.
One thing. Yep.
Deer management program, crop damage permits.
Is funded by the everyday hunter.
Is funded by your hunting license money, $480,000 a year. We sell 80,000 hunting licenses here in Maryland. Divide 80,000 into 480.
Yeah.
That's $1 of every hunting license goes to pay for the crop damage permit for farmers to take deer 365 days a year, including Sundays.
To get a crop damage permit, you don't have to pay anything.
No.
I mean, it's free to the farmer.
Yeah.
And you know.
Other than the nighttime shooting.
Other than the nighttime where you do a deer cooperator and you have to have a plan.
Agricultural deer cooperator program.
And you have to have a plan and it has to be approved and processed. So the money that you're talking about for the crop damage is actually for them to monitor and control them being DNR or
the equivalent, the equivalent for state workers of 10 FTEs.
Yeah.
Full-time employees.
Yeah.
Okay. Figuring a $48,000 a year salary.
Right.
And benefits.
Right.
Okay. 10 full-time employees just to administer a program for farmers to kill deer.
To monitor the program.
To monitor the program.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, they got to print the permits.
Yeah. That's computer generated now.
I know. I know.
Push a button.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 full-time employees, the equivalent of $480,000 of hunting license money to administer a program for farmers who don't have to buy a hunting license to hunt their property, who don't have to have a hunting license to shoot deer on a deer management permit, a crop damage permit. Okay. $6 for every hunting license goes to administer that program.
Yep.
That's it?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm trying to bite my lip here. You're painting me in a corner. I think our deer management bag limits for recreational hunting is a better management tool than shooting deer with crop damage, my opinion.
Right.
And you know, been there, done that, been participated in that over the years, and I just
a lot of people
know. Oh yeah,
a lot of people participate in it. You know, they're one of those 8,000 agents.
Absolutely.
I've been on farms in Howard County. I've been on farms in Frederick County.
Yes.
I can't remember if that's it. Frederick and Montgomery, those two areas that I can recall. Oh, and Cecil County. Yeah. You know. I've been on those programs. But you know what? It's not something like I'm sitting out there every night in August waiting for a deer to walk out.
Yeah.
And neither are you.
No. No.
You know?
No.
So.
Well,
but I don't need to do it now. We don't eat that many deer. I didn't need to do it then.
Yeah.
I was trying to help the landowner.
Absolutely.
Because that's what he was asking.
And he was exactly. The farmer owner
if you can kill a couple of does, that'd be great.
Yes. Well, they actually, in most cases, they don't really say does. They say, I want every deer killed.
Yeah, of course.
They, you know, their eradication is more of eradication than it is a management tool.
Right.
You know, so, you know, their goal is to do away with the deer completely.
Well, the Maryland Farm Bureau declared antlerless deer vermin.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
several years ago.
Several years ago.
4 or 5 years ago.
I wrote a nice article about that. It's on our website.
Maryland, yeah, vermin.
Yeah, vermin.
Vermin.
Yep. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. That's a resource.
It is a resource.
It's not a vermin.
A vermin is a rat that gets in your grain bin.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. It's a resource.
Yes.
It's all of our resources.
Well, I'm glad you said that because people don't understand who owns the deer in Maryland.
Well, owning the deer and being responsible for the deer is the argument that has been portrayed out. It's your deer. You should take care of them.
Well, that's a farmer's cry. The farmer says, I feed the state's deer, and the state ought to let me do what I want on my land. In some degree, I think they should. But the farmer doesn't own that deer.
That's correct.
The state doesn't own that deer.
Yep.
The citizens of the state of Maryland own that deer.
Yep. The majority...
It's called the public trust doctrine. It goes back into the mid-1800s.
Is that like a blue law?
No. No, it's a public trust doctrine. All the citizens share in the responsibility and the management and the ownership.
And that is why
Iwala.
There are such a large group of stakeholders that participate in our program for that particular reason.
I'm glad you answered that question.
There you go. I had an answer.
I knew
I had one, but I just didn't know where it was at.
I know. All right. So continue with your agenda.
All right. So... Frostburg had 35 attendant up there. Most of them were hunters because it's in Western Maryland. I went to La Plata on the 12th, and there was actually 25 people that I was the 25th person that walked in the door. I was a little late. Rainy weather going down the road and all that stuff like that. It's a 2-hour trip.
Not an easy drive.
No, especially in the rain and and that time of day, which is 7 o'clock, is when these meetings take place. In the evening, there was 25. There was only a handful. I'm going to say maybe 5 to 6 hunters that were actually there at that program. The rest of them was farmers and actually some. I'm going to call them tree huggers. So you know, other people that don't hunt. Non-hunters. So hunting was not very well represented there at that meeting as far as, you know, participating in this public event. Now, there's another one coming up. There's still time to do this, to participate in that. You can do it online or on the 20th at Y Mills at Chesapeake College. There's another public hearing. And then there's the Owens Mills one, which is right here in the middle of the state. It's close for everybody to get on, come down. It's at Newtown High School, and that's on the 21st. 10 years ago when they did the 10-year deer plan.
That's this Wednesday and Thursday.
That's this Wednesday and Thursday.
Right.
At Owens Mills last year, there was over the stadium, the whole thing was full. There was like 200 people there for this event. I'm anxious to see what Owens Mills brings, because that's going to bring everybody out. There's going to be all different groups that's going to should be there. I'm hoping the hunters will come there, not to argue, but to come there and actually represent and put their opinions out there and be involved with this thing. At Frostburg 10 years ago, that place had like 60 or 70 people in there. They had to move the chairs out of the room because so many people that wanted to participate. And that, it wasn't at Frostburg last year, but it was close.
Yeah, I get it. I understand.
But it was there. I didn't go to they had one instead of La Plata. It was in Annapolis 10 years ago. And there was only 5 people, and they were all non-hunters that actually showed up for that last year. So, you know, I really think we need to.
We're handing our privileges of hunting over to non-hunters to influence decisions made for managing a resource that we claim that we love.
If you go online right now and view the comments that others have posted, there's only a handful of them that are hunter-backed. Versus most of them are sterilization is a major. There's a lot of comments for the sterilization.
Sure.
And whatnot. You know, QDMA puts out an annual deer report, and most people don't get it unless you're a QDMA member and actually get it online. But in 2016, on their harvest data, Maryland, of the top 5 states, killed the most antlerless deer on the whole United States. This program that we have in place here actually works.
Right.
There is stats that actually shows that we actually lead in several other colleges. We're third place in antlerless deer per antler deer per square mile. That's, we beat out Pennsylvania, for God's sake. That is awesome. So this program, this deer plan, is involved, and it does get results. And I encourage everyone to participate and get involved with this thing. There's my agenda. Get involved. We need to be involved.
You're preaching to the choir, man. You're an advisor to the Maryland Hunting Coalition.
There's an online. If you can't make the meeting, then go online. Go online and put your comments in there.
God knows that there are plenty of people out there that want to comment online.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Keyboard cowboys.
That's correct.
You know, and that's fine, but guess what? There's keyboard cowboys who hate hunting.
But just keep it real.
Keep it real. Exactly right.
I mean, because and I'm not criticizing comments that other people's made, but just some of them you can really see right through them. I mean, you can some of the comments that have been posted already is the same exact comments.
Open season all year round, way out of control, deer ticks, crop damage, deer ticks with an E like a John Deere tractor. Yeah. Crop damage, car damage, they are not cute anymore. All in capital. Somebody was shouting. Yep. So I farm 4,500 acres.
Yeah, and then he loses 200
deer are costing me over $225,000 each year in damage. We need open season 24/7, 365 days a year with no limit. I have hunts now killing many deer. Also, DNR police need to work with the hunters and the farmers and not give them tickets.
And we just need to keep it real, you know? I mean,
is that real?
Well, I don't know. If you lose $225,000 in a business, you wouldn't be in business very long.
You farm 4,500 acres.
That's all, you know.
4,500 acres.
If you can actually lose $250,000, I'd like to see what your gross income was on that there, if you can afford to do that.
How can you afford to lease 4,500 acres?
Well, I can tell you how they can.
Okay, how do you do that?
Well, what happens is a lot of ground that the small time farmer is selling out.
Yeah,
this is what happens a lot.
Okay,
not all the time, but it's a lot.
Okay,
what happens? You want to keep that crop. You want to keep your property looking good.
Yeah.
So you lease it to a farmer.
Okay.
Okay. And the farmer comes in. He does his till and he takes care of the crop thing. Yeah. He takes care of it.
Mm-hmm.
And maintains your property for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And then the farmer says, well, you know, I can't put crops on here no more because of too many deer. And when you do that, and then the guy says, well, I need you to really keep the place up and everything. I mean, it's an economical way for a property owner to have his property taken care of. How about if, we just let you farm it or give you a really go low rate, like maybe $1 an acre or $2 an acre, and then they go in and do their crop deal and they make out good money. It's good business. Not good for the deer, but it's good business, and not good for hunting. That is one of the avenues it goes, for a fact.
You know what I see?
Yeah.
I see, and I'm not doom and gloom here, but I see hunting declining to the point where it's not even a factor anymore. Here's why. The anti-hunting community, with the Humane Society of the United States, headquartered in Maryland, and the HSUS has a seat on the Wildlife Advisory Committee. Did you know that?
Yes.
Okay. And the organizations that have land, like horse owners, okay, they have more political influence than the hunters are willing to participate in the program. Farmers have an incredible network.
Absolutely.
They have their own county by county chapters.
Yep.
They're all comprised of some of the leading landowners and the wealthiest people in the county. In many counties, rural counties are the farmers.
Sure.
Okay. Great political influence. They make political contributions that the hunters can't come anywhere near matching.
That's correct.
They have handshake relationships with their lawmakers. They put money in their pockets. They are very organized. Hey, did you hear about this bill? Prince George's County farmers. Did you hear about this bill in Frederick County this guy put in? What are we going to do about it? Well, hold on. I'll call my senator. I'll call Bill. I'll call Joe. I'll call Fred. I'll call Mary. I'll call whoever. We'll get that stopped. And wait, and while you're at it, call Joe and Frank and give them a call, and then they'll call their friends and so forth. It's an incredible network.
Absolutely.
It's like the old prayer chain.
Yes.
No question about it.
Yes.
Everybody's on the list. You got your names to call. Oppose this Senate bill. Oppose this House bill. And then, you call leadership of the Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau says, yeah, it's not a very good idea. They put their newsletter out to their thousands of members.
Yep. Yep.
Farm Bureau opposes Bill ABC.
Yep. Yep, absolutely.
Hunters, shooters, who like to get out in the woods and get away from all this noise and all this business and so forth. That's why we do what we do. Don't want to be not necessarily involved, but as you say, participate.
Yeah.
You know? And as you know, there's one voice in Annapolis.
Yep. Yep. Who pays the most?
I'm talking about for hunters.
Oh, yeah. The coalition is the only one that for hunters is that I can say that actually, participates.
I mean, you know, we get letters from your organization, yep. QDMA, when there's a deer issue. Yep. We get letters from other organizations when there's other, issues out there.
And it's unfortunate, the management part of deer is scientific.
Yeah.
It should be.
Yeah, it is.
But the political, matter of fact, in QDMAs, they actually have a, I don't know what page it's on right now, I have to look it up, but one of the biggest downfalls of deer management is political influence.
Of course it is. No question about it.
Yeah.
No question about it. And it's happening. It's right here in Maryland as well. No question about it. So if you know the system, like Bill Miles, our lobbyist, knows the system and knows how to form those relationships with key lawmakers, you can sometimes get things done.
Absolutely.
But the coalition does not necessarily shout to the public, hey, look at us, look how great we are, guess what we just did. We don't do that because that's not how the game is played. The game is played when you talk to find somebody in the hall and say, Senator, Delegate, hey, look, HB whatever, Senate bill whatever, bat, really, Bill? Yeah, that's okay, let me take a look at it. Thanks,
yep.
Senator. And, that's how you talk to people in Annapolis. You get to the key people on key committees and try to get a bill bottled up in committee.
Right.
Okay? You're not out there shouting, this is what we did and this is how we did it, until after it's done.
Right. Absolutely.
So, and that's the thing that people don't understand. And that's the reason for the lack of support for the coalition and what we do in Annapolis.
Well, and we hit on it at the roundtable thing down in Annapolis there that we all got together for.
Yeah.
We hit on it there that we have a lot of hunting groups, clubs, and whatnot that are spread out all over the state.
Yep.
With a handful here, a handful there, a handful there. We get caught up in not supporting this group, not supporting that group, instead of pulling everything together. Whether we agree with everything or not, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
You have to have the solidarity.
Yep.
To stick together, even if you have different opinions. It's a Democrat. You cannot agree, but you can still support.
If we don't hang together, we will hang separately.
That's exactly correct.
Clyde Sports Shop, ready to rock sale, starts Friday, March 8th through Sunday, March 17th. On sale, all rockfish, trolling baits, and lures. You can save on premium monofilament line. Half price, starting at 1 cent a yard. Penn reels are on sale. Penn trolling combos, Shakespeare rods and reels, Fluger rods and reels. All ugly stick rods are going to be on sale, and St. Croix rods have special prices, too. Clyde Sports Shop has everything you need for fishing. Fishing license and rod and reel repairs and live bait and lures and hooks and lead weights and all, you name it, they've got it. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108, 24-hour fishing hotline, 247-FISH. 410-247-3474, 247-FISH. Easy way to remember it for Clyde's Sports Shop. Bay Country Crabbing Supply in Edgewater has everything you need for recreational commercial crabbing and bay fishing tackle, too. Bay Country Crabbing Supply is located 214 Mayo Road in Edgewater. Stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines, trot line parts, live boxes, nets, ropes, buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of bay fishing tackle and gear. A full line of bay fishing tackle and gear. See Bay Country Crabbing Supply today and tomorrow at the Pasadena Sport Fishing Show at the Early Heights Fire Department. Mark your calendars, too, for April 13th, the open house at Bay Country Crabbing Supply. 410-956-0300. Waterman, bring your license, get a discount. BayCountryCrabbingSupply.com.
Northwest winds here to stay throughout the day today. Wind speeds relax, change direction for Sunday. Our high this afternoon in the middle 40s, low tonight 28 degrees. Next weather maker comes in Sunday with some rain, cold rain, upper 30s. Monday, Tuesday, mostly cloudy in the upper 40s. And much of next week is going to be kind of gray for the east and the southeast, including Baltimore. Could see some more snow in our forecast first half of Wednesday, mid part of next week. I'm Scott Laurie, more at the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's time for the National Outdoor Show. Coming up February 22nd and 23rd at the South Dorchester School, 3485 Golden Hill Road in Church Creek, Maryland. Just $8 for adults and $4 for kids to get in. This is the home of the World Muskrat Skinning Championship. You're now in muskrat country, the heartland of sportsmen, trappers, watermen, and wildlife. Proud to show you the best that comes from our boot-sucking marshes and the flowing water that surrounds them. Most of all, we hope to share the unique spirit and character of our hardworking people who keep one foot in a technologically savvy world and the other stuck deep in our traditional old-school ways. A weekend of shopping, you can eat seafood and muskrat, see contests like the Muskrat Skinning Championship of the World. Remember, visit the National Outdoor Show, February 22nd, 23rd, in Dorchester County, nationaloutdoorshow.org.
Chesapeake Outdoors is your first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. And they're getting ready and geared up for angling. That's for sure. Striped bass and so forth is already you know, on their plate with the big trolling lures and the bucktails and parachutes and umbrellas. But they have everything for panfish, too. Perch run is really starting to crank up on the Eastern Shore, and they're ready. They've got all the little baits and the little terminal tackle and everything you need for any kind of perch run. Live and frozen bait, too. Yeti coolers, Costa sunglasses, Bubba Blade knives for, you know, fillet and release, if you like. And anything and everything for spring turkey season. EWE like spring turkey season.
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed. Shotguns, ammos, calls, decoys, and camo. Don't forget crossbows like Raven and Matthews compound bows. Chesapeake Outdoors is located at Route 50 East, exit 39B on Kent Island. That's Dominion Road, 39B. Chester, Maryland, 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500 for Chesapeake Outdoors.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Hey, we're with E.W. Grimes here from the Quality Deer Management Association. If anybody would like to have the link to the public comments, to make a public comment and read it, just email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll try and get it to you to the break. Or you can just go on the DNR website and put in your search for public comments. And it
public comments of deer management plan.
Yeah, deer management plan, 15-year deer management plan. Well, you know, you got the keywords. E.W., you'll be sticking around?
Sure.
Okay, buddy. Sounds good. Get out, stay safe.